All right, thank you, folks. Good to be home. Nothing beats home. Vacations, you need a vacation after you take a vacation, from the vacation, amen? Really wasn't that. We went up with grandkids, and it was good to see them, and God was good to us. I'm not surprised to see a bunch of empty pews this morning. I know where everybody's at. They're still stuck on Highway 95. Trying to get out of Florida. I made the trip a number of times, but once we got on 95, we just sat there a lot of time. It wasn't construction, it wasn't wrecks, it was just so many cars the road couldn't handle it. It is amazing. I thought about the mistake they made getting out of Afghanistan. They pulled the army out first. They should have left them. And that's what we did in Florida. We got the crowd before we built the roads.
Yeah, that's right.
If we'd have been able to build the roads first, we'd have been in good shape, wouldn't we? But part of the world's problems is distribution, right? We're too much cold or too much hot or too much rain or not enough rain. You know what that tells us? Tells us this world's not heaven. We live in an old cursed earth, got the curse of sin on it, and we see it in so many ways it displays itself. Well, we finished up on 3 John. We taught a little lesson about the word Easter in Acts chapter 12, why it was right to be in the King James Version, even though pagan Easter is not what we Christians celebrate or shouldn't celebrate it. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday, as you hear Brother Parsons call it, and that's right. And the world don't know that Easter has anything to do with the resurrection. They think it has to do with rabbits and chickens and eggs and foolishness, which it don't. That's the pagan side. So we taught on that. And I thought about what to start off in Sunday school this morning. I want it to be the book of Jude. 25 verses. We've been in these little short books. We did 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Of course, we finished the book of Revelation. And now, to finish the package between 1 John and the book of Revelation, we come to the last book before you get to the book of Revelation. That's the book of Jude. Some things we need to know about it. We'll say this. It is a good book for our day and time because it has, I think, some information that'll be very important in the tribulation period. The tribulation period is the next thing after the rapture that we believe comes on this earth. So there's some tribulation truth in it. At the same time, it is describing an age that we live in right now. So we're thinking about somewhere right around the rapture, after the rapture, into the first of the trib, and finally goes all the way to the main event at the end of the tribulation. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. It's easy to get mixed up on who wrote the book. His name is Jude, but there's about, 3 Judes, I guess, that you could mix it up with in the Bible. Now, it's not terribly important. God put it in, and God inspired the writer. But you can find out kind of who Jude really was, where he fit in with the disciples. If we were asked, and in my early ministry, I remember being asked the question one time by a lady, and I couldn't give her the verse real quick. She got a little bit, I think, unhappy with me. She said, "I want to see where all the apostles are listed. What verse?" And I started kind of thinking, where now? Where am I going to look? And she decided I didn't know much, and she walked off. She was probably right. But if I ask you that question, where would you turn in the Bible to give you a list of the early apostles? Think on it just a minute. All right, there's about 2 places in particular, and of course some other smaller spots you'll find some information. But trying to discover who Jude is, we know he was one. It says in the very first verse, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. That's our cue now. We got to find out about the brother of James. How many of you know there's more than one James in the scripture, right? It says, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified, that means set apart, special for God, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Now, thank God, it's not temporary, it's lasting, preserved. Somebody fusses about the Bible. Yeah, I know it came from God, but now it's been changed. Well, God, when God sent it, He preserved it. Yes, man can pervert and never have it in the first place. But if God's Word is not only inspired, it is preserved. How many of you know what the word preserved means? Sometimes you see somebody after a few years and you say, well, they deteriorated, but they're preserved pretty good. We think about not the kid's mummy, but the Egyptian mummies. They tried to preserve them forever. I've seen some pictures on TV, didn't look like they kept too good. Amen. How many of you remember when the old folks preserved things? Preserve the pears, preserve the figs or whatever. How many of you know that once in a while they'd make a mistake and something would happen? Thank God he didn't make any mistakes. I remember my aunt, mother's sister, that she was big into preserving. They had those old pressure cookers, and sometimes there'd be an explosion. It was not good. But I remember as a kid, one of the beds who we'd go and spend the night with them that we slept on had canned goods shoved under the bed on the floor, preserved. Now everything was fine unless a little alien ingredient got in there. And that if a little bacteria got in there, after a while that can would blow up. It would swell up and finally it'd blow its lid. It'd blow. Amen. I'm glad my salvation is preserved forever. It's not going to blow up. It don't have any alien element in it. It's we're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and we're preserved. Now, Jude, I'll ask you to go to maybe a couple of places. Just mark them down. Go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6, and let's look around verse 13 on down through 15 or 16. Let me see if I can find it here. We'll kind of get a little bit of a list of the disciples here. Verse 13, and when it was day, he, Jesus, called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So we got the word disciples and apostles here. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus. Now here we got James mentioned twice, two Jameses here, verse 15. The son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. Here's the author of the book of Jude now. Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. So be sure you don't think that Judas the traitor wrote the book of Jude. He did not. And there's some other verses. In fact, let's just see while I'm on that thought. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. I believe I'm right on that. We'll let you find it with me. Matthew chapter 10. We'll start off in verse 1. Matthew chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles were these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Now that brings us back to Jude, who wrote the book of Jude. You got the same person here being named Lebbaeus and Thaddeus. The easiest way I kept in mind who wrote Jude was he was Jude Thaddeus. He was separated a little bit there. And again, it's not a crucial doctrinal thing, but just be sure you don't think Judas Iscariot wrote it. He did not. In fact, John 14 actually identifies him again as the traitor there. So as we come back to Jude, we see in its context that it was written to a time, I believe it was written to a time just where we're living, right before the trib, but goes into some of the stuff in the trib, not so much the events, but the doctrinal application would fit better, some things that's happening in the trib. And then it takes us all the way to the end of the trib, which would take us to Revelation 19, where the Lord comes back with his army of saints and sets up his kingdom on earth. So I'll say this, there's some books in the Bible that aren't studied all that much today. Maybe Jude is one of them. Hebrews would be another one. Book of James would be another one. Even in a good church that preaches the Bible, you'll find a lot of times that James, Hebrews, and Jude, while we'll throw a verse out of it every now and then, is not all that much studied. Why is that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit's guidance to us. You'll find after the rapture takes place and the tribulation, that's the 7-year period given to Israel. We're in a time right now where Paul spoke of the Jews, the Israelites, as still having a veil over their face. And in Romans chapter 11, it talks about that they were blind for a while. Now, truly, probably more Jews, biological birth Jews, are coming to Christ as the Messiah today than probably any other time. There's a lot of ministries. Yet at the same time, Orthodox Judaism still does not accept Jesus as being the promised Messiah. They're still looking for the Messiah to come. We know the Messiah was Jesus. He came, he died on the cross, he arose again, he's back at the right hand of the Father, but he's coming again for his bride, the church, the saved. But at the end of the trib, he's coming back and has to, by force, with the sword out of his mouth, leading the armies of heaven, take over the kingdoms of the world. I'm digressing a little bit, but you remember when Jesus was baptized, he was out in the wilderness, and the devil came and tempted him and told him to turn the stones into bread. Remember that? And he told the devil, no, that man was not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. And then the devil took him up on the high temple, high place, high mountain also, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and said, you can have these. You can be king right now if you'll just bow down and worship me. Of course, Jesus told him to get behind him and so forth. But see, Satan had the power to offer him those kingdoms. And listen, he is King of Kings. Those kingdoms belong to him. He has the right to rule them. It would have been the right thing for him to be the ruler then, but it had been at the wrong time. And he'd had to pledge his allegiance to the devil instead of God. So he didn't do it. Thank God he didn't. He had a journey to go on to the cross to die for you and I. So with that thought in mind, let's remember the kingdom got postponed, but it is coming. The Jews of Jesus' day did not accept him. The kingdom was postponed. We are in the, I like to call it the church age. Some take issue with that. But when the church age ends with the rapture, 7-year tribulation period predicted by the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7 and 9, you find out Christ comes back, Revelation 19, riding on the white horse, leading the armies of heaven, having a name written that no man knows, and with a double-edged sword going out of his mouth against his enemy. And the enemy, guess who the enemy is going to be? You see it all the time in the news. It'll be the UN with all the forces they can gather from all the nations to resist the Creator himself from coming back and taking over his kingdom. That'll be the Battle of Armageddon that's so much talked about. And Christ will come back. He'll set up his kingdom. So what we have now is a tribulation period is getting close because we believe the rapture could happen any moment. the 7 years predicted by Daniel, which would be the Jews' day of trouble, Jeremiah 30, the day of Jacob's trouble, will run its course, and at the end of it will be the Battle of Armageddon. And we'll find out as we read Jude, not only does he mention it, but he gives us a quote all the way back almost to the beginning. So it's not new, it's long predicted, long pictured. And if you're losing a little hope today, we joke about how we feel. I said to somebody this morning, I used to take it a day at a time. I've cut that down to a half a day at a time now. I'm praying the Lord comes soon, because I'll be down less than that before long. And all of us go through that kind of thing. Thank God we got a place where we won't have to worry about hospitals and doctors and all that business. We can't even imagine, what it's going to be. Yeah, as Brother Nixon was singing, it is a big change, amen. And so think ahead a little bit helps you sometime get, think ahead about the blessed by and by helps you get through the nasty now down here, amen. And so Jude is an encouragement. It is also a warning. And it tells us these things that we, how we should be prepared to face them, and warns about some of the tricks and the delusion that the devil will bring and the false teachers that will be around. So it is good that we can go through the book of Jude and find stuff that helps us in the nasty now, right now. Also, I'm not teaching Hebrews and don't plan on it, I don't guess, but while Hebrews is going to be a book studied heavily by the Jews in that tribulation period, because it was basically written, I believe, by Paul. The King James translators said Paul wrote it. I'll go along with them. And they put that in the title. But the Jews will want to know some stuff they should have already known that was already written in Hebrews. And I believe Paul wrote it because he was himself a Hebrew, Pharisee. And God used him to show Judaism the right way. And to let go of the old way. But as a whole, they didn't. They still reject Jesus as the Messiah, as an official thing in Israel today. That would be true. Individual Jews are saved just like you and I are, by personally encountering the Lord Jesus Christ and believing on him in this day and age. But there'll be a time. You read the last chapters of the book of, book of Zechariah, you'll find where all nations are going to gather. All nations means the armies of those nations will gather against Jerusalem. The showdown, the biggest showdown there ever was, wasn't between Billy the Kid and Pat Garrett. Some of you hadn't learned science yet. You don't know what I just said. Joking around with you some, but the biggest showdown is when the armies of heaven face the armies the Antichrist has been able to muster on planet Earth to stop the Creator from coming back and ruling his creation. Say, man is hopelessly depraved. Without Jesus, he has no hope. The depravity of man, and you see it today, all this stuff we're going through, and boy, I'm telling you what, we're right where Jude is warning us about the stuff that we could apply even today. It is amazing how anything God is for, anything that is right, anything that is moral, this culture today is against it. It is amazing the depth of the depravity of mankind and what we're seeing today. While I was gone, our place we stay in, West Virginia, does not have a TV that picks up all the channels. By the way, I had a thought on that. Probably shouldn't take time on that, but I remember when the wife and I could watch TV together, because there was only three channels and maybe one of them halfway clear. So there wasn't much debate about which channel we're going to watch. That has changed. Because now you can get 50 and none of them's any good. But you got so many choices. If you'd pick one or two things pretty decent on it, and then if she wants to watch something like paint drying, you know what I'm talking about, bland, and I want to watch something where the blood's being shed, then we disagree. So we don't watch a whole lot of TV together. All joking aside, it's changed for the worse. They're showing the most awful stuff now into our living rooms that can be imagined, and especially to our kids. And the parent better be wise enough. Somebody said, I put a filter on the TV. You're supposed to be the filter. I've joked around through years. Somebody's, you know, building around here and other stuff. Somebody said, y'all renovating the auditorium and stuff. Has the inspector been by? I said, don't fear the inspector. I'm married to the inspector. Now, just joking around a little bit, but we understand. We understand it has gone to the bottom today, to the pit. And while I was watching a little bit of TV, we've been fussing for a long time because it's been in the news. And money's behind most of it, covetous money. Hospitals that are selling sex changes to little kids, mutilating their bodies. I did see a stat this week by a leading psychiatrist, which I don't put a whole lot of confidence in, but one that had a little common sense, said they were recommending to the hospitals not to do that, because they said most kids that even think they're mixed up when they're young will grow out of that. When they come to begin to mature, they'll grow out of that. Then they've got a mutilated body. Little girl's body had been butchered. Now she wants to be a mother. You see what I'm talking about? This is depravity in the greatest depth. But I saw this particular thing that made me mad. Most everything does on that, but was they're holding classes on, you know, you may be a boy, you may be a girl, transgenderism, all that's bad enough, that's awful. But they even went further to now they're trying to introduce classes, young ages, kindergarten, first grade, third grade, on Satanism. Now you couldn't come in and teach the gospel, you couldn't come in and teach the Bible, but they're going to bring in the Satanists to present their side. Folks, we got to be close to the Lord saying this enough. I just think so. I really do. All right. Somebody gave me a look and I got astray there. Let's go back to Jude. Everybody has to find somebody to blame, so I blame you. Got off course. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, we've identified who he was and gave you a couple of references you can look at, Matthew 10:3 and Luke 6:15. Jude says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Yes, that's a wonderful wish for us. Beloved, when I gave all diligence, to write unto you of the common salvation. I'm going to park on the word common salvation a minute. I believe in studying the Bible deeply as I can. And yet I want to say, let's never get too far away from the ABCs of the gospel. The common salvation. It's not that hard. You got so many people today, I don't know how to be saved. It's a common salvation. Even in this negative, sinful world we live in, the gospel is being piped out into the airwaves all the time. And the basic gospel is that we are sinners, we are lost, we are on our way to hell, and Jesus came and paid the price of our sin, that we don't have to go to hell, that we can be justified because he took our place and paid what we couldn't pay. And while we hear that and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, you hear that all the time. It is amazing how the devil is able to blind eyes and stop up ears, that the truth of it don't come in. I pastored a long, long time, and I talked to a lot of people. I found out more and more, still see it happening today, that people that have gone to church and heard this and heard that, and they're still not clear on the gospel. But Jude says the common salvation, not uncommon. The portion that we often use as soul winners in the 10th chapter of Romans, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But wait a minute. In the context of that, Paul is saying you don't have to go to heaven to get the word.
That's right.
It's coming. What Jude is saying, it's right here. And he's quoting actually from the Old Testament when he says that. God is not guilty of hiding his gospel. We Christians are guilty of hiding the gospel. And the scripture says if it be hid, it's hid to who? The lost. So in my experience as a pastor, I have found folks that heard, but somehow never related it to themselves. I've had this statement made to me. Yes, I knew Jesus died on the cross, but I never did really think that he died for me. That's so simple, but the devil is so able to blind people's minds and eyes to the simple truth of the gospel. If you've ever won soul to Christ while you're talking to them and giving the Bible, you can almost see, many times I have, see when the expression through the eyes, through the face, through the emotions, when a man comes to a point of faith and it opens up, the light breaks. It is a real thing that you can observe while you're looking at someone. And so the devil is a blinder. He's a deceiver. And so Jude will warn us about it as we get further in. He said, I'm writing you about the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you. He said, I'm doing it because it was needful and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, not a faith, but the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. The common salvation has not changed. All, yes, is more information and transition books like the book of Acts and other things that grow you and progress you through. And certainly if you read early chapters of John, you can get saved, you can get born again off of John 3. But at the same time, it's great to read Paul coming along then and talking to you about justification and sanctification and getting deeper into things. But the common salvation, probably not as common as it used to be, because it's more distorted and the devil's got more tools to work with today than ever before to distort. But he tells us here to exhort you. That's to encourage me, to help me get inspired, that I earnestly contend for the faith. Now, my ministry has been a ministry of contending for the faith, and we still do that as a church. We wish that everybody accepted without trying to distort and deceive, but we're in a time of contending for the faith. Listen, I believe in turning the other cheek in context of what it means. But don't be a coward when the lie is being told and you know the truth, to speak up and give the truth, to contend for the faith. Sadly, we are needing that so bad today. Now, I am impressed here in the last few months that even on some of the liberal channels, once in a while, somebody, probably paying out of their own pocket, is putting some stuff on TV in front of millions, and I'm sure it's costly. I'm glad that Franklin Graham is coming out on TV and putting some spots. Anybody seen his spots? I'm proud of that. He's got a name and a following in the ministry. That's good. That's going out where millions are seeing, where he tells them to believe in the Lord Jesus, gives them a very bird's eye view of the gospel. Fox News, and I'm kind of mad at them right now because they fired Tucker. And if you don't know who Tucker is, you ought to. Not old man Tucker. It was Tucker Carlson. Anyway, you know how he got fired? He exposed some corruption in high places. If you don't think there's a conspiracy to control America and politics and everything else, you can see it when something like that happens. When somebody gets a little bit on somebody else's toes, and I think it was Chuck Schumer, he said, that's political, I'll go jump in the lake. Politics ruled your life. You ought to know what's right and wrong on it. But anyway, Chuck Schumer asked the boss of Fox News to fire him. Did you see that? So he got fired, probably because he put the tape on. Now you say, where is that in the Bible? I'm standing in front of the Bible right now. Probably because he put the newsreel on what really happened on January the 6th. That's probably what done him in. All right, I'll come back. Our day's got its enemies to contend against. Jude had to contend against them. He's encouraging the early church to stand against them. He's predicting ahead of how it's going to be. And we are there where Jude was predicting. Now, we'll get to that. The truth here is, you got every opportunity today to contend for the faith. Now, you don't have to be mean about it. Sometimes it's just a short word of truth plants a seed that the Holy Spirit will use in the listener. All kind of stories you know about folks being saved. I always like to, when I hear somebody's testimony, I like to say, well, what got your attention? I've known some folks that went to church quite a bit and never got saved. So I'm interested in what finally broke through the darkness for you. And often it was not a sermon. Often it was not a long hours discussion. Lots of times it was just a statement or two that got through. Woke them up. You heard me tell the story of the young man in the grocery store. Probably an older teenager, I forget, in that age. His testimony was that I was just like a young man, living it up every way I could and happy. I thought, and he said, a salesman come by that stocked our shelves, come by every 2 weeks or a month. And he said, he saw me for the first time working in there, and he came up to me and said, asked me, he said, young man, are you a Christian? And he said, I said to him, why, no, I'm no sissy, I don't go to church. A lot of them think that, you know. He said, he just kind of looked at me and said, well, you're a fine looking young man. It's too bad you're going to hell. Walked off. He said, you know, I couldn't get that out of my mind. You're going to hell. He said, I couldn't hardly sleep that night. You're going to hell. He said, I woke up thinking about it. He said, I went for a week thinking about it. He said, I finally asked the store, when is that man coming back? And they said, well, he's another week or 10 days. He said, that was the longest time of my life, going to hell, going to hell. He said, he finally come back. He said, before he got any groceries out, putting them on the shelf, I ran to him and said, sir, is there any way I don't have to go to hell? And the guy wanted him to Christ, and that young man made a preacher. That was his testimony. What stopped him? Not a great sermon, but a statement that the Holy Spirit just buried in his soul and wouldn't let go. You know what I'm guilty of and what you're guilty of is we say, I hadn't got time to win him the Lord. It'd take me an hour to talk. Well, how about dropping something? A seed here and a seed there and a statement here and there. You might be surprised what the Holy Spirit will come along and do with it. But the devil blocks us out, keep us from saying something. He said, I don't want to make enemies. I tell you where your enemy is going to be. When you face in judgment the person you could have told about Jesus and didn't. Yeah. Think on that. Yeah. That's all of our sins. That's sin of omission, but we're all guilty. Think on that a little bit. Well, you know, we have a list here in church, a prayer list, and got cancer patients on it. Cancer is pretty much considered terminal disease. Not always. There's some folks living now that was healed from it, sure. But if I had a secret formula, a pill, I could give to a cancer patient and cure them, and I wouldn't do it, and they found out about it later, wouldn't they have a right to be mad at me? You think about somebody going to hell and said, I live side of you and you never told me about Jesus. I work side of you and you never told me about Jesus. Hey, think on that. That's some of the scariest thoughts. It's deeper. I got off on it a little bit, but you read in the book of Ezekiel When I don't speak up to warn the wicked of his wicked way, I have his blood on my hands. We know what blood on the hands means. It means we're guilty. We're guilty. So Jude is trying to encourage believers here for sure to contend for the faith. It's a common salvation. It's not that hard to know it. And yet, we find ourselves blocked by the devil on sharing it like we should. I also say this, and I'm going to quit on this one. We also think somebody is more educated than I. Somebody is more wealthy than I. Do you know a wealthy man, educated man, don't mean that he is saved? You don't get saved by your wealth or your education. He's got to get saved the same way you did. Trust in Jesus. And I have found this, when the rich man or the educated man gets terminally ill, he wants to know the same questions that the poor man does or the uneducated man does. You and I have the answer. It's the common salvation. We need to be willing to share it. Contending for the faith means that when somebody is in error and saying the wrong things about it, if we contend for it, we're going to present the truth. Say, well, I can't out-argue them. It don't matter about that, whether you win an argument or not. It's whether or not the Holy Spirit can keep on talking to them after you leave. And he can. And he does. I challenge us today. I believe Jude is directed to us in the very time we live in now. It applies. Not so much directed to us, but it applies to us as much as it did when he wrote it to whoever was reading it then. Even more so, because we've seen all this stuff come. Now it's building up to something big. I think the something big is Jesus is coming soon. I do. All right, my time is up. Brother Smith. Well, it's still up there pretty good, 845. We thank the Lord for that, even though half of them's out on 95 stuck somewhere.